Well, we're grateful that you're spending this Good Friday with us, and we're going to take time to reflect on what was the darkest hour. And I encourage, so grateful to see such a great turnout here. Today is a sacred day, and I want to have us pause and reflect on what Jesus did on the cross and what he did in our place for us. I think it's just, as we do reflect what he did in our place, that it's important for us to be reminded of the horrific nature, and this is the part of Good Friday that it's so appropriate, that we think of all that Jesus went through for us, to demonstrate his love for us. And I read this actually almost 2 months ago now, as we started our Last Word series, when we looked at the last seven sayings of what Jesus said on the cross. And this comes from Dr. Truman Davis. He's a medical doctor, and he provides a physical description of the crucifixion, and he writes these words. The cross is placed on the ground, and the exhausted man is quickly thrown backwards with his shoulders against the crosspiece. The legionnaire feels for the depression on the front part of the wrist, and he drives a heavy square wrought iron nail through the wrist and deep into the wood. Quickly, he moves to the other side and repeats the action, being careful not to pull the arms too tightly, but to allow some flex and movement. And then the cross piece is lifted into place, and then the left foot is pressed backward against the right foot. And with both feet extended, toes down, a nail is driven through the arch of each. Leaving the knees flexed, the victim was now crucified. And as he slowly sags down with more weight on the nails in the wrists, excruciating, fiery pain. Along with the fingers and up through the arms, it explodes in the brain, the horrific amount of pain. The nails in the wrists are putting pressure on the median nerves. As he pushes himself upward to avoid this stretching torment, he places his full weight on the nails that are through his feet. And again, there's searing agony as the nail tears through the nerves between the metatarsal bones of his feet. At this point, another phenomenon occurs. As the arms fatigue, great waves of cramp sweep through the muscles, knotting them into a deep, relentless, throbbing pain. With these cramps came the inability to push himself upward to breathe. Hanging by the arm, the pectoral muscles, the large muscles of the chest, are paralyzed, and the small muscles between the ribs are unable to act. Air could be drawn into the lungs, but could not be exhaled. He fights to raise himself in order to get one short breath. Finally, the carbon dioxide level builds up in the lungs and in the bloodstream, and the cramps partially subside. Spasmodically, he's able to push himself upwards to exhale and bring in life-giving oxygen. Hours of this limitless pain, cycles of twisting, joint-rendering cramps, intermittent partial asphyxiation, and searing pain as tissue is torn from his lacerated back as he moves up and down the rough timbers of the cross. So you read that description, and it's all of that. And yet in Scripture, when you read it in the Bible, it's just these simple words, and they crucified him. So in this darkest hour, it's important for us to think about fully what did Jesus do, what was done for us on the cross. Jesus endured in this moment far much more than an excruciating death. Four thoughts I want to share with you on this Good Friday regarding the victory of Jesus and what was won on Calvary on the cross for us. Four things. First, suffering is complete. This is the end of his suffering. But this was well beyond a physical suffering, because in this moment, Jesus endured the separation of God. He had never felt that experience before. There had never been a moment up until this moment on the cross that Jesus didn't know the fellowship, didn't feel the love, the connection to his heavenly Father. But now, in this moment, on the cross, Jesus is being identified as sin. All of sin, all of our sin, All sin from past, present, future, all of it, the wrath of it, the weight of it, the shame of it, all of it was placed on Jesus at this moment. And he experiences for the first time in his life separation from God the Father. As we enter any given week, we never know what's going to happen. Jesus can't say that. So as Jesus approached this final week, as part, even in the crucifixion, as it started to play out that last really 24 hours, Jesus was pretty aware of what was going to be happening because of the prophecy started to come back, I'm sure, to Jesus' mind. Isaiah 53 paints a picture that Jesus is now clearly experiencing. Starting off in verse 3, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. As one from whom hide their face, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. See, Jesus had a sense of all of what was ahead of him. And the prophecies continue as Isaiah continues. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus on the cross, he completes suffering. It was finished. As we learned from Pastor Stacy's message a couple weeks ago, it was a relief. His suffering, his mission is completed. Second thing that is occurring in this darkest hour is the sacrifice was fulfilled. For hundreds of years, blood was spilled in temples. And think of it like this. There was so much blood, it was like a slaughterhouse. All of them point to Jesus' sacrifice. Because the sacrifices in the temple of animals could never fully remove sin or cleanse us from the shame. See, sin required a death for blood to be spilled. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4 says it, "For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin." See, all of this points to the sacrifice that Jesus makes. All the sacrifices we see in the law point to Jesus' sacrifice because the sacrifices of the law could not remove sin or cleanse from sin. Only Jesus' sacrifice could remove the sin and cleanse us of guilt. Just a few verses later in Hebrews chapter 10, it says this, "But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God." But when Christ... See, it was through one sacrifice our redemption was secured. Picture this with me. Talk about God's precise timing. At 3 o'clock that Good Friday, in that darkest hour, Jesus is on the cross, but not too far away. The priest was close to making the sacrifice in the temple, and it was a lamb for the Passover sacrifice. At that same time, as the priest is sacrificing the lamb, Jesus, is about to take the sacrifice in every way that a lamb could never do, taking our sins and cleansing us. Thirdly, Satan was defeated. See, Jesus is entering this final week of his life. And it says this in John chapter 12, "The time for judging this world has come, when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." See, Jesus takes our sin, and he also takes the judgment, the penalty of our sin, the shame of our sins, the life-controlling power of our sins, and of our enemy. Jesus takes that all on the cross. So in this moment, Jesus not only accomplishes the debt of our sins, but he accomplishes so much more than even just that. He accomplishes our adoption back to God our Father. Jesus is rendering in this moment Satan harmless. Isn't that amazing? Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. "Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us." This is why Jesus It's an amazing paradox. He's fully God, but he's fully man. And being made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God, then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since he himself had gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. See, we have a Savior, we have a high priest who understands the trials and the difficulties we go through. Jesus does all of this without sin. And what an encouragement today. See, with him having gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us whenever we are being tested. We are never alone. So on this Good Friday, be reminded, you're not alone. Might be walking through a pretty dark hour yourself. The comfort to know is Jesus knows. God knows. He sees you. And you're not alone. It's amazing. Why did Jesus appear? Part of his mission was to destroy Satan. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. That's part of why he came. Jesus, in his final words, says this. He didn't say this. He didn't say, I'm finished. He didn't say, I'm finished, but he said, it is finished. Satan is finished. Sin is finished. One more verse, Colossians chapter 2. You were dead because of your sins, because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it on the cross. Our sin is canceled. See, that's a cancel culture we can embrace. Our sin, our shame, it's canceled. Satan, spiritual rulers and authorities are all disarmed. Fourth and finally, in this darkest hour, our salvation is secured. See, Jesus makes a perfect sacrifice. In this darkest hour, our sin debt is paid in full, totally and complete. So what's amazing is he's looking to his heavenly Father, knowing he has done everything. Everything his heavenly Father has asked him to do. Jesus is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves on our very best day. And here's Jesus obeying to please God the Father. What's wonderful is you can't add or subtract to what Jesus did. It's not good deeds. It's not works. It's not how well we keep our religious commitments. As Pastor Stacy shared a couple weeks ago, Jesus utters this second to last statement in this darkest hour, John chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus received that sour wine, he said, "It is finished." What Jesus did on the cross was to secure our salvation. Stunning. It is finished. His assignment, his mission is completed. And Jesus says this final statement, and we're going to look at this coming Easter Sunday. But on this Good Friday afternoon, his very last words in this darkest hour was this. Luke chapter 23, verse 46. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. The worship team will come back. What's amazing is, and I think it's vital that we notice this today, because there's parts you can go into a Good Friday service and we can focus so much of the cross and the agony. That one aspect that is completely overlooked is just how strong Jesus is even up to this last moment. Notice what it says at the front part of that verse. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice. In that last moment, Jesus had all command. He had no throwaway sentences. His very last words had authority to it. See, Jesus wasn't a victim on this cross. He was completing his mission. And even at this very last moment, see, death didn't take him. Jesus sent his spirit to the Lord. God, I'm committing my spirit to you. Here it is. See, death did not overtake Jesus. So what's amazing as we look at this, we see the strength. We see that even in this last moment, Jesus is in control. His birth was a miracle. He lived a sinless, perfect life, and we can think of all the supernatural miracles he performed that we can read in Scripture. His life was filled with power, and even until his last words, his last breath, because his work was done. See, it's not because he was weak and he just gave up. His work, his sacrifice was done. He sent his spirit away. His work was done on this darkest hour. See, the darkest hour sets the stage for Easter Sunday. And this is what makes Good Friday so good. But as you hear these words, as you hear and understand this message, sometimes people, some might be here today, some might be watching online, and they try to take this and they reduce it in two ways. They really don't know until they start seeing the impact, as we did today, traveling through those last words, it is finished, it is complete. Jesus did for us what we could never do on our own. He paid our sin debt, covered our eternal separation from God, and made a way for us to have a relationship with God the Father, to have eternal life with him. He made our way back with a relationship with God. Some people just don't know. Secondly, there's parts people try to reduce the cross and they try to lower it to good works. It's what we can do. But here's the deal. We can never be good enough. Our best intentions, our best efforts will always come up short. See, Jesus accomplished his mission for us in this darkest hour. So if you're here today, and before we take communion, I have to ask, if you're here today or if you're watching online, and maybe you fell into one of those parts, maybe it's you've taken life and you just didn't realize what Jesus fully did for you and how what he did on a cross on a Good Friday and how that impacts you. See, that's a gift that Jesus did to bridge us back into a relationship with God, but you have to act on that gift. You have to trust it for yourself. No one can do that for you. Your parents, your spouse, your good friends, no one can do that for you. You have to make that decision for yourself. And so if you're here today and maybe for the first time you have to rededicate your life to him, or maybe for the first time you understand and you want to give your life to him, now is a wonderful moment and a wonderful opportunity, because you do it in a step of faith. And that step of faith at the very beginning is a form of a prayer where you say, Lord, come in and be my leader and my Lord. And it's a prayer. In fact, if you want to make that decision, I'm going to ask everyone to pray this prayer with me. And if this is you today, know that there is a God that is anxious to reestablish a relationship with you. So pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for your work on the cross that you did for me. Forgive me of my sins and my works, trying to do things my own way. I give my heart and my faith to you. Be my leader, lead my life, and my Savior, my only hope for salvation. Change my life. Transform me. My life is yours. In Jesus' name, amen.